I want to talk to you about what will be your greatest warfare and how you will overcome it. What will be your greatest warfare and how you will overcome it. And there's actually a few passages I want to go to. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 9. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 10 first, and after we read that verse, we're actually going to go to, we're going to begin with 2 Corinthians chapter 10 first, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Then we'll move to Matthew chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to begin with verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ." Now go with me a couple of chapters over to chapter 5. I'm going to read the very last verse, verse 21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to look at the last two verses. Verse 37 says, "Then said Jesus to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." Let's pray. Father, I'm just asking that you would just take the words that are in my heart and that God, you would anoint them. That God, they would come forth with the weightiness of heaven upon them, and that they would go deep into the heart, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would begin a work or continue to do a work in this area that we are going to talk about this morning. And Father, we just thank you, God, for your incredible goodness, that you would send your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, that he who knew no sin would become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that, Lord. And God, as we walk this journey with you more and more, would you open our eyes to see exactly what that means in our life. And we thank you, Lord. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let me just begin by saying that here at Summit School and Summit Community Church, God has instilled a vision in our heart. And that vision is simply this, that we are saved to serve. We are saved to serve. Amen. That in God's goodness, he desires to shape our lives and fashion our lives and use our lives to serve other people and to impact people's lives powerfully. And what I want us to understand is that God has a specific way he wants to use our lives. He has a specific call upon each one of our lives. You know, some of us may be called to a pulpit ministry, ministering God's word in his church. And others of us may be called to have a career or to be working in the workforce and just being a powerful light in surrounding darkness. But whatever God's calling upon our life is, the Lord desires to use our life to make an impact in our generation for his kingdom. And I want us, again, to just hear the words that Jesus said because they apply to every generation. Every generation. He said the laborers are few, very few. And if that tells us anything, it tells us this. Because the laborers are few, God's not going to waste one opportunity to use someone's life who wants to be used. Listen, if it's truly in your heart to want to love God and to seek His will, not my will, but to seek His will, if it's truly in His heart to seek His plan for our life and walk in His plan for our life, God's not going to waste that opportunity. He is going to take our life, He's going to shape our life, He's going to mold our life, and He is going to use our life in tremendous ways in our generation. He's not going to waste that opportunity, brothers and sisters. But, you know, sometimes we can struggle with that truth, that God actually wants to use my life tremendously. You know, for many believers, when they first get saved, there's just something in the heart that desires to be used by God and to go out and win the world for Jesus. But somewhere, as you're just beginning to walk with God, and somewhere on your journey with God, you can begin to understand that, you know, even though I'm a Christian, I have flaws. You know, even as a Christian, I have imperfections in my life, and they're just things that I struggle with, and there are weaknesses in my life. And we can begin to look at all of our flaws and all the things that we struggle with and all the things that we think is wrong with me. And a despairing can come into the heart that begins to say, you know, how can God use my life tremendously? Look at all these things that are wrong with me. Look at all these flaws that I have in my life. You know, many years ago, I was a first-year student here at Summit. Many years ago. And I came to Summit with this mindset. After I graduate Bible school, I'm going to launch out into ministry, and I'm going to be the devil's worst nightmare. That was my mindset. You know, after Bible school's over and I did my part in Bible school, I'm going to launch out in the ministry and I'm going to heal the sick and I'm going to cleanse the lepers and I'm going to cast out demons and I'm going to raise the dead and the devil's going to tremble every time he hears I have come to town. That was my mindset. But somewhere in the middle of my first year, I truly began to see the pride that was in my life and the arrogance that was in my life. And a despairing came into my heart that simply said, God, I am a proud, arrogant man. God, I am so arrogant, my pride stinks. And a despairing came into my heart that simply said, God, how are you going to use my life? Look at all the pride. Look at all the arrogance. Look at, in so many places, how I touch your glory. And you're going to use my life. You know, that despairing just came into my heart. But beloved, here's the good news. God, His power in our life is so much greater than our flaws, so much greater than our imperfections, so much greater than the things that we struggle with. And God is able to work something deep in our life, something deep of His life, something deep of His nature, something deep of His character, and use our lives for His glory. Amen. And here's what we have to realize, not in our minds, but in our hearts. You know, serving the Lord in whatever capacity He's called us, it's not just ministry, it's warfare. You see, God has an anointing to put upon each one of our lives that destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. He came to destroy the works of the devil in people's lives. And He has an anointing that goes so far past our strength and our abilities. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring deliverance to the captive, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And that is how He desires to use His people. He desires that His people be a supernatural people producing supernatural things through their life. That's His desire. But how many of you know the devil's just not going to sit by and let you destroy His works? He's going to fight against you with everything that He has. And so here's the question that we have to ask. You know, since Jesus on the cross destroyed the works of the devil, destroyed the power of the devil, the enemy has absolutely no authority, no power over a believer's life. Since Jesus totally disarmed His weaponry on the cross, why does He even bother to fight against us? Well, here's the answer to that. Because the enemy knows that if he can lie to us and get us to a place where we're believing his lies, to the point that we get discouraged and we quit because of his lies, there are battles that he can win. See, the real battle, the real warfare is this. Truth against lies, who will you believe? That's the battle. And so he comes with these things. Listen, beloved, there are so many discouraged, despairing servants of the Lord who leave the work of God every day because they just can't find the strength to rise above his lies, to rise above his discouragement, to rise above his despair. You know, some years ago, a wonderful man of God, he had walked with God for many years, and the Lord called him to start a ministry ministering to discouraged pastors. And after many years of serving discouraged pastors, he wrote a book called Smitten Shepherds. Very powerful book. And in the book, he wrote these words. 18,000 pastors walk away from God's call on their lives every year. 1,500 pastors every month choose not to keep going. They quit. Preachers lose their joy and simply walk away from God's call on their lives. A common joke among preachers is that they resign every Monday. The problem is, it isn't a joke. Many do. So, beloved, the warfare is very real, and it's not just against pastors, it's against anyone who has set their heart to seek God's will for their life and to walk in that will. So then, here's the question that comes to mind. What is one of the believer's greatest warfares they will face against the enemy? What is it? Well, more than anything else, the enemy will try to dilute the way God sees you in Christ. He'll try to cause you to see yourself in a way that God says, I don't see you like that. Amen. See, the enemy, he will be so persistent in trying to convince you that God sees you as unclean. He'll be very persistent in that. Beloved, listen to me. It's so hard to be passionate about God's work when you live under this conception that God sees me as unclean. Listen, it's so hard to be passionate about his work and to desire to move forward in his work when you think God is always looking at your flaws and your imperfections and your weaknesses and your struggles, and he's frowning upon your life. It's very hard to be passionate about his work. Amen. Somebody say amen. 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 The enemy is going to try to point out all your flaws and everything you struggle with and try to convince you that your life is displeasing to God. And if he can do this, it really takes all your joy and it takes all your desire and it takes all your strength out of the work of God. You know, I was thinking about that scripture that says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So Peter describes the enemy as a roaring lion. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard a lion roar? Have you? I'm telling you, they can roar very loud. You know, I once put it up on the internet, just wanted to see how loud a lion can roar. And when a lion roars his loudest, it can be heard up to 6-7 miles away. That's pretty loud. And beloved, listen. Do you know in a believer's life what his loudest roar is? You're unclean. Your Christian life is a failure. Your walk with God is a failure. God is looking at all your struggles and all your flaws and all your failures, and he's frowning in deep disappointment upon your life. What's the use of even trying to serve the Lord? Look at everything that's wrong with you. Look at everything in your life that he's frowning upon. No matter what you do to try to serve the Lord, he's frowning upon your life. I don't know if you've ever lived there, but I've lived there. Just every day feeling like my walk with God is a disappointment to Him. My Christian life is a disappointment with Him. All He sees is my flaws and my weaknesses and my struggles. Beloved, I've lived under that. I've lived under that. And do you know what He's trying to do when He does that? He's trying to throw you into a pit and keep you there. And that pit is simply a mindset that says, God sees me as unclean. Listen, there are so many servants of the Lord serving the Lord today who live in this pit. Yes, they're serving the Lord on the mission field. Yes, they're serving the Lord on the church. Yes, they're being a light on their job. But their service to the Lord is so miserable. There's no joy in their service to the Lord. Because they're absolutely convinced that God sees their Christian walk as an absolute failure. And I'm telling you, listen, when you live under that, it truly takes away all your joy and all your desire, and your ministry just becomes a burden and a chore. Amen. Well, I got one amen. Amen. But now I want you to see God's perspective, what He says. I want you to go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he opens, and look with me at verse 2. He says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints. Now let's just stop there. He says, them which are set apart, they are in Christ, called to be what?
Saints.
Saints. Everybody say saints.
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 Saints.
How many of you can honestly say, I have sang that song? What's the name of that song? Something about the saints marching, when the saints go marching. How many of you can actually say, you know, I've sang that song since childhood at least 20 times. How many of you say, I've sang that song, when the saints go marching in? So you've sang the song. Do you know what the word saint actually means? It's one thing to sing it. It's one thing to understand it. God says you're called to be saints. Beloved, do you know what the word saint actually means? It means most holy ones. God says, when I look at my people, each one of them, I see them as a most holy one. In fact, they are so holy, they're as holy as I am holy. Now, some of you are looking at me with shock. Pastor Tim, you just said I'm as holy as God is. The same God Isaiah saw sitting on the throne with the seraphim saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. You just said, I'm as holy as the one that Isaiah saw sitting on the throne. That's blasphemy. But listen, I didn't say it. He said it. He said it. See, the Lord says, when you got saved, I put you in Christ. You are covered by His perfection. You are covered by His righteousness. Therefore, when I look at you, you are as holy as I am holy. That's how I see you. Amen. And do you know what I love about Christ's righteousness? When we get saved and we come into His righteousness, do you know what I love about His righteousness? His righteousness gives you room to grow. It gives you room to change. Listen, God's power in my life is so much greater than my flaws and my failures, and every day I am changing. Today I'm not what I was yesterday, and tomorrow I won't be what I am today, because every day I'm changing from glory to glory to glory. But you know what God says? While you're changing, God says, while you're changing, I already see you perfectly holy. Amen. You know what my favorite definition of sanctification is? It's simply this. God making you into what He already sees you as being. God says, I already see you as perfect. I already see you as a perfect picture. I already see you as a complete picture. Now every day my spirit is working in your life, making you into what I already see you as being. Perfect. You're not perfect. But the one you are in is perfect. And I see you as perfect. Amen. And here's my point. You know, we can say we know this. Oh, Pastor Tim, I know this. But I'm telling you, when the enemy is roaring loud against your life, vehemently pointing out all your flaws and all your failures, it's not so easy then. But God is going to work a strength in our life to stand in our position in Christ. And God is going to work a strength in our life to fight in our position in Christ. You know, so many times when the enemy comes roaring against our lives, pointing out, trying to point out our flaws and trying to make us feel unclean and all these things, sometimes the Lord will come and just say, just stand in your position. Just stand in your position. But there are other times God will come and say, listen, if you're going to move forward in the call of God, it's not enough to stand in your position. You need to fight from your position. But the good news is God is working a strength in our life where we can stand in our position and we can fight from our position when we need to. And it's a deep work. Amen. I want to show you something recently God spoke to my heart and something that he's doing in my life. I want you to go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Just going to read the first three verses. John chapter 12, starting with verse 1, says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Beloved, and what Mary did in breaking this ointment and anointing Jesus with this ointment, to me, this is just pure worship. Undefiled worship. So what she's doing with this ointment is an expression of her heart. She's pouring out all of her love upon Jesus, all of her adoration upon Jesus, all of her devotion upon Jesus. This is just worship. In its purest form. And beloved, how many know when you get saved, you are free to worship the Lord? When we come in this church, we are free to worship the Lord. I don't have any problem at all if you want to get in the aisle and dance before the Lord. And I don't have any problem at all if you want to lift your hands and clap your hands and shout hallelujah to the Lord, you know. You know, it's all the flesh stuff that, oh, I'm not going to go there. That I'll come down and say, you know, let's tone it down a little bit. But if it's really coming out of your heart to just freely worship the Lord, I'm telling you, we're free to worship God. Amen. But I want you to look what happens. This is a beautiful, sacred moment, but look at what happens next. Look at verse 5 and 6. Verse 4 says, then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and bare what was put therein. So what happened next? Well, here the devil raises his head and he brings his voice of accusation against this woman's life. Here she is in the midst of freedom to worship the Lord. And suddenly the enemy, right in the mix of that, lifts his head and brings an accusation against her life. And that's not so uncommon when you are in a place of pure worship with the Lord. But I want you to look at what Jesus does. What was Christ's remedy for his accusation? I want you to look with me at verse 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Stop. Then said Jesus, let her alone. When the enemy raised his voice of accusation, what was Jesus' response? He came with the authority of his word. Listen, when Jesus said, let her alone, you can't be more authoritative than that. Let her alone. And here's what I'm simply saying. We are all being trained to stand in the authority of God's word. That no matter what voice lifts itself against our lives, there is a greater voice, there is a greater word, and in the strength of God, we are being trained to stand upon the authority of that greater voice. Amen. And that's something that the Lord is doing in all of our lives. Now, I want to end with this. Here is a powerful truth I want to end with, and it's simply this. Even though serving the Lord is a warfare, you can have the incredible joy of the Lord in the midst of it. Amen. Even though it is a warfare, you can have an incredible joy in the Lord in the midst of the warfare. And I want to show you one passage of Scripture. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 61. Look with me at verse 10. Verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice. Everyone say rejoice. Okay, I got about five of you that believe it. Come on. Everyone say rejoice. Rejoice. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful. Everybody say joyful. Joyful. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why? Finish the verse. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Beloved, listen, even in the midst of the warfare, why can I rejoice? Why can I walk in the joy of the Lord? Why can the joy of the Lord be a living reality and weighty in my heart? Why? Because I am a beautiful bride, spotless bride, pure bride in the eyes of the Lord. And I'm telling you, when that truth gets out of the mind and really gets into the heart, that is how you overcome that kind of warfare. Amen. And I love the fact that God says here in verse 10, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. You know, every time the enemy comes to point out the flaws in your life and the struggles in your life and the places that you feel like you're failing, every time he comes, the adversary comes with the voice of accusation and say, do you see this flaw? Do you see this flaw? And they're really there. We're not going to be unrealistic. They're really there. And that's what makes his lies so convincing. But every time he comes and he says, you see this flaw and you see this flaw, you see this flaw? If you will listen real closely to heaven, every time he says that, you will hear God say, I got you covered. I got you covered. But oh God, what about this? The enemy's really pounding on this area of my life. What about this? I got you covered. But what about this over here? What about this? What about the pride? What about the arrogance in my life? What about that? I mean, he's really pointing on that. He's really grounding that point in. God says, I got you covered. I got you covered. In fact, you are so covered. You are covered by a heavenly wedding dress. And the beautiful thing is that while you're covered, I'm changing you from glory to glory. See, salvation is the covering of righteousness. Sanctification is the character of righteousness. You know, as soon as you're saved, you are immediately covered by righteousness. God says, I see you perfectly holy and right. You are covered by righteousness. But then God says, now let's start the sanctifying work. I don't want you to just be covered by righteousness. I want you to have the character of righteousness. But while I'm working that character in you, there is no condemnation. Because you're covered. I got you covered. Amen. I hear the accuser roar. The evils that I have done, I know them well and a thousand more. Jehovah findeth none. I hear the accuser roar. The ills that I have done, I know them more and 100,000 more. But Jehovah findeth none. He findeth none. He findeth none. I've been washed in the blood of his son. He findeth none. He findeth none. I've been washed in the blood of his son. Stand with me this morning. Bow your heads with me. My altar call this morning is simply going to be this, Pastor Tim. I feel like I'm living in that pit. I feel like I'm living in this mindset that God is frowning upon my life. I feel like I'm trapped in this mindset that God sees my Christian walk with him as a failure. I feel like I'm trapped in this mindset that all God is doing is looking at everything that's wrong with me, all of my flaws, all of my struggles, and he's just frowning upon my life. But this morning, God has told me that in the midst of all my struggles and flaws, he sees me in this beautiful holiness, the holiness of Christ. And I'm free to love him and worship him and just know in my heart that as I walk with him, he's doing a good work in my life. And I'm going to make the altar call that simple. If there are just people here today and you say, I just need this mindset broken off my life, I really want to begin to see myself as God sees me. God, as a blind man, would you begin to open my eyes and just help me to see myself as you see me, the bride of Christ. Beloved, if that's you this morning, I'm going to just ask the band to play, and we're going to worship a moment. We're going to worship a moment. And if you don't come to this altar call, let's just take a moment to just worship the Lord. And those that do come to the altar call, let's just take a moment to worship the Lord for his goodness this morning. Amen. 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 Lord, I do pray for those that have come to this altar, God. Lord, I truly believe, Lord, being free to serve, being free in our heart to serve, begins with being able to see ourselves like you see us, God. And Father, I just ask, Lord, what I shared this morning was truth. Can't add to it. And I just pray, Lord, that the truth will set the captive free, God. These mindsets, these prison doors, Lord, I pray that you would begin to open them. This sense of feeling like a failure and my walk with God is a failure, God, I pray that you would begin to open those prison doors. And God, that we would truly be able to see ourselves in the light of how you see us, God. Lord, you say, I have covered you with a beautiful wedding dress of heaven. Oh, the wedding dress of heaven, my son's righteousness. You are beautiful. You are spotless in my eyes. And as you walk with me in this great relationship between man and God, woman and God, I'm going to change you from glory to glory. But just know, I'm changing you into what I already see you as being. You are a perfect picture, a beautiful picture, a finished work in the eyes of the Lord. God, let that truth set people free. There are no failures in the kingdom of God. Success is what you are doing in our lives. And you are more than able to change us from glory to glory into the image of Christ. And God, I pray you would begin a work in people's hearts and you would just begin to break this mindset. And we would walk in this joy that Isaiah talked about. This joy, this rejoicing of heart. Because I am the bride of Jesus Christ. And he sees me as beautiful. And Lord, I thank you for that, God. I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, this morning the Lord desires that you walk out encouraged today. You walk out knowing who you are in the Lord and what God has set before you. You begin to take hold of it in his strength. You begin to take hold of it and move forward in it. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy, the accusations of the enemy. You know, there are going to be deep times. God's going to deal with things that are in your heart. He's going to deal with things that are in the heart, but yet the Lord is saying this, when I deal with things in your heart, you don't have to fall into a place of condemnation. You don't have to, I'm just changing you from glory to glory, but you have to understand you are so beautiful in my eyes. Don't fall into condemnation because you're listening to the devil's work. Just stay on the potter's wheel and let me work. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to do something beautiful. I'm just going to change you into what I already see you as being. So don't listen to his lies. Let's lay hold of what God has for us, and let's just begin to move forward in what God has for us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, everybody's standing, so I'm just going to close in prayer and really go out encouraged by the word of the Lord this morning. Lord, we thank you for this service, God. From beginning to end, Lord, we have sensed your presence. We have sensed your strength. God, you have come and strengthened those places in our life that we're just feeling weak, and you've encouraged us in places where we need to be encouraged. And God, you've even changed us. Lord, it's impossible to be in your presence with a hungry heart and not be changed. God, you have done something supernatural in our life. And Lord, we walk out of this building this morning just with a sincere gratefulness in our heart. God, thank you. That you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think according to your spirit that works in our life. Thank you, God. Thank you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning.